This is the sermon that was preached on the 6th of March, the first Sunday of Lent 2022. The scripture readings are Deuteronomy 26, verses 1 to 11, Romans 10, verses 8 to 13, and especially Luke 4, verses 1 to 13. For several years, I had the privilege of travelling to the country of Cameroon in Central West Africa. I think I've been there to offer some teaching to the readers and clergy some five or six times. It's a beautiful country, perhaps best known now for its passion for football. However, those of us who are old enough will remember Johnny Wiesmuller, who played the role of Tarzan. This was filmed in Cameroon. Flying either from Paris or from Brussels, the flight to Douala took between 5 and 6 hours. If you were lucky enough to have a window seat, you would see the extraordinary sight of the Sahara Desert beneath you for at least a quarter of the journey time. It seemed to go on forever and ever. It always struck me as extraordinary that human beings would have the courage, the determination, and the physical stamina to cross this desert on foot, perhaps fleeing from an area of war or drought or persecution. Yet so many countless thousands of people have managed this perilous journey, preferring to face the physical dangers of the desert and personal and social uncertainties than to stay suffering in their own countries. Whether it's over the Sahara Desert, over stretches of water, or through unknown lands with unknown languages and cultures, the human spirit drives them on in search of a better life, a better chance for their children, or an improved economic outcome. Greece is no stranger to people of this sort of courage, though often they arrive in an alien country damaged and traumatized, and mourning the loss of loved ones, or with the thought of those left behind still with a place in their hearts. There has always been migration. There will always be refugees. We put our heads in the sand if we think otherwise. Our prayers continue today for Ukrainians, for those made homeless, for those who have fled to Poland, Hungary, Moldova, and other lands of safety. Very few of us would choose a migrant life. Yes, there were and are nomadic peoples still, for whom travel is simply their historic and preferred way of life. Some years ago, Queen Nur of Jordan attempted to settle the nomadic peoples so that women could have access to established healthcare and children to education. Small houses were built for the Bedouin families. They quickly constructed their enormous tents beside the houses and let their sheep use the house. It's in their lifeblood to be people on the move, with their ancient inherited wisdom about where the pasturing is best or where water would be more readily available. But the majority of us prefer stability. Homes, jobs, work, community, relatives and friends around us, transport, and much more. Over the centuries, the church has developed in this same way. From desert mothers and fathers choosing isolation in rock faces, deserts, and high mountains, to the establishment of communities of monasteries where stabilitas was one of the key features of the monastic life, and then on to the development of parishes. St. Theodore of Tarsus, whom I mentioned last week as Archbishop of Canterbury in the 7th century, was one of the architects of the parish system with its boundaries and stability. It is a migrant people, a tribe in exile, to which our Old Testament reading refers this morning. Though it speaks of God establishing this tribe in a land so commonly referred to as of milk and honey. It owes its origins to a movement with no land to call its own. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down to Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. Deuteronomy 26:5. Thus were the descendants of Abraham, the father of many nations. For Abraham, there was no stability. He stepped out in faith as God called him on his journeys across wildernesses and into the deserts of Egypt. Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Luke 9:58. This truth has early evidence in Scripture. As a baby, the parents of Jesus, to escape persecution under King Herod, flee from their home and their kinsmen to Egypt and live for a time in exile, as aliens in a foreign land. Even from infancy, we have an icon there of travelling, of seeking safety, of being nomadic. Quite the opposite of stability, of permanence, and of security. Jesus enters the desert some 30 years after his family had a sojourn in Egypt. He enters the desert, and in this environment he is forged into a deeper wisdom and understanding of destiny, his humanity calibrating his divine purpose. All that is not of God is thrown at him to test his resolve, to test his dependence on God, his Abba, Father. The jewels of mundane human existence that distract us and often destroy us are handed to him on a plate. Power, self-reliance, possessions, and much more. We know nothing of his 40 days other than what we are told in Scripture. St. Mark tells us almost nothing. St. Matthew and St. Luke furnish us with some details. But we know all too well the temptations ourselves. The holy season of Lent is a great opportunity for us to be reminded annually of the need to enter our own sort of desert. For few of us is there a call to live a Christian life as a desert mother or father. But of our own creation, we can enter into the wilderness experience, not just to recall the 40 days that Christ was in the wilderness, but also to change the pattern of our normal lives for a bit, to change our eating habits a bit, to read something different that helps us spiritually, or to find time for prayer that we would otherwise find excuses to avoid. The word discipline, not much liked these days, can be positive and liberating when we discover that through it we've found some new time of peace in the presence of God. The ancient and brief spiritual prayer, called the Jesus Prayer, is so simple and can be repeated silently while we do all our normal daily business. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Lent is a time to face the hard rocks in our lives, the arid plains that so often enter into our prayer lives or our attendance in church. It's also a period to challenge our attitudes and behaviour towards our sisters and brothers in the community. A good Lent is not just to be judged by a congregation doing a number of extra spiritual activities. A good Lent leads to a metanoia, life upturned by Christ, life turned inside out by Christ. Lent is about God, and Lent is about our neighbour, in and out of church. This year, we have the added Lenten responsibilities to pray for and to help in any way our sisters and brothers in Ukraine. It is possible for you to make a financial donation towards Ukraine and to our chaplaincy in Kyiv. If you go to our diocesan website, you can find some information about that and also other prayer and practical resources. In Henry Nouwen's book, Desert Wisdom, Sayings from the Desert Fathers, we read this. It was said about one brother that when he had woven baskets and put handles on them, he heard a monk next door saying, "What shall I do? The trader is coming, but I don't have the handles to put on my baskets." Then he took the handles off his own baskets and brought them to his neighbour, saying, "Look, I have these left over. Why don't you put them on your baskets?" And he made his brother's work complete, as there was need, leaving his own unfinished. St. Luke ends his temptation narrative in this way, and note the words. When the devil had finished every test, he departed from Jesus until an opportune time. Amen.